from one of the most connected men in Illinois to selling electronic cigarettes at a kiosk in a mall. It's the stuff dramas are meant for, or so thought playwrights Andrew Gallant and Tim Tui.
Now this could only happen to a guy like me, and only happen in a town like this. So may I say to each of you most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss.
Chicago, the kind of town, kind of state, really, where a self-admitted drug addict like Stu Levine could be worth $70 million, money he made by bribing politicians, by gaining the trust of a dying friend only to bilk the pal's kids of millions, and by using his appointments on various state boards to extort cash. As a trustee on boards like the teacher's retirement system, Levine could ensure that friends' companies got contracts, because after all, if he looked after them, they would look after him. The likes of which are all detailed by Levine himself in real life, in court transcripts, and his eventual plea agreement. Early in the play, there is a scene in which prosecutors come to Levine's fancy Highland Park home to coax him into cooperating.
But from this second forward, the life you've been leading has been irrevocably altered. We're giving you this choice because we know you can be of use to us.
Gallant and Tui used court transcripts and newspaper articles to detail the whole string of kickbacks and setups, made sense of in the play through a generic journalist who serves as a narrator.
So what Stewart did was give us the inside story as told by a quintessential political insider. When he took that stand, I swear you could hear shallow breathing in government offices and back rooms from Springfield to Chicago, because what he knew was how the real game was played. It was like a live grenade going off in the most crowded of courtrooms, crowded with names like Cellini, Rezko, Verdoliak.
Power brokers with whom Levine once rubbed elbows. The play traces some of their schemes. At one point, Levine and Rezko plot over dinner.
There's 7 million, and it's 3.5 million each.
This is good.
Until one by one, thanks prosecutors say to Levine's cooperation with them, they all fell down.
In the case of the United States versus William Cellini.
The court sentences you to 1 year and 1 day in prison, next.
In the case of the United States versus Anton and Tony Rezko.
The court sentences you to 10.5 years in prison, next.
In the case of the United States versus Rod Blagojevich.
The court sentences you to 14.5 years in prison.
The prosecutors in the play, as they did at his real-life sentencing, ask for leniency for Levine because he was so helpful, they said, in taking down his former circle. It's one of the ways in which, for all of the sordid details displayed about his life, it's clear the play isn't meant to demonize. Tui and Gallant got the idea from an article about how, after his fall from the inside, Levine landed a job at a mall kiosk selling electronic cigarettes. In that role, Levine comes across as a sympathetic mope, working for minimum wage, divorced, broke, cast aside. All of it theater, literally, for old friends like Jeff Rockman of Evanston, who saw a showing of the play on a recent Saturday night.
I knew Stuart.
How did you know Stuart?
He was a roommate in college.
Rockman says he didn't keep in touch much after they graduated from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and he has a hard time connecting the Stu Levine he knew then with his persona now. Rockman says although he's unhappy with Illinois politics, there's a part of him that feels sorry for Levine.
He made some horrible choices.
And
his life is ruined, and you can't feel angry at a person like that. They've paid the price.
Rockman has no sympathy, though, for Rod Blagojevich. Rockman says Blagojevich was elected and then broke his oath of office to the people of Illinois. Apology not accepted. I'm Amanda Vinicky.